Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
6 minutes after 8 p.m. here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A big Lugowski taking you up till midnight here on The Fan as we are still, you know, basking in the glory of last night. And it's one of those nights that none of us will ever forget. It's one of those nights you'll always remember where you are, who you were with, what you were wearing. Now, for me, it was a tight yellow shirt, which has really been a big topic of conversation around here and also on social media. And for those of you that haven't seen the clip on either Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever other social media platforms we have, but the video is out there.
Next win!
Right. That of me out there reacting to not only the Anunoby a tip-in, but also the final, you know, buzzer sounding and the Knicks winning the game.
Oh!
And I look, that was me. That was a real reaction. And
yes!
Yes.
Let's go!
I'll have what she's having. And I wake up today and it seemed like the only thing that anybody wanted to talk about or cared about was my tight yellow shirt. And yes, I do have some problem areas, which I've brought up on the air before.
No biggie.
I have legs that girls would kill for. That's why I can wear women's jeans. You know where you got that shirt from, and it damn sure was in the men's department. My ass looks like a balloon that you take the air out of it. Got skinny arms. I probably need to work on them a little bit. You know, get the pipes going, little 80s for the ladies. But they're solid. You know, they're not going to embarrass you.
Bring some of them chicks around here sometime, huh? A little much.
And it is beach season. But there are some areas on my body that could be a little problematic. And when you wear the tight shirt, you're bouncing around like I was bouncing around. Yeah, sometimes it's...
He's fat!
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I'm definitely skinny. I'm a lean cuisine. I'm a noodle. But some of the areas can be a little problematic. I mean, if I'm bouncing around a little bit, it's not Baywatch level, but, you know, you can see what I'm working with.
Loogie!
But I think that humanizes me. That makes me like everybody else. And some parts of me have a little bit of the dad bod, but everybody, the tight shirt this, the tight shirt that. I mean, rock stars have been wearing tight clothes forever.
I saw a belly.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think there was a belly. I wouldn't go that far. But there was a little bit of some man boobs, quite frankly. But it is what it is. And like I said, rock stars have been wearing tight clothes forever. But I wear tight pants, tight shirts, and it's a big topic of conversation on social media.
Is that his wife's shirt?
Tommy the Trendsetter.
I am Fashion Tommy. And no, it was not my wife's shirt. I am Tommy the Visionary. If my wife had a pair of pants that I liked, would I wear them? Yes.
No biggie.
But I also admit that to millions of people on the radio, so I can laugh at myself. But yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, Evan and Tiki, the Twitter account, they put out, I guess, an AI version of me, which I appreciate because it made me look jacked up. And they said, if you get 100 likes on this, we'll make the shirt even smaller and smaller and smaller. And I don't know, did Marash get in on this? Because he was dressed like Larry the Cable Guy the other day. I don't know, he's Joan Rivers like McMonagle? I saw what C-Mac was wearing today. I think he got a cup of soup with that shirt. I didn't realize everybody here, the only person that dresses to, you know, wear, hey, he's a great dresser, is Tiki. He looks like a mannequin.
Barber.
That's right. But Tiki's also jacked up. So he looks great in these tight shirts. I'm not saying I look amazing, but I do like a little bit of... I have one of those bodies that I'm in. What, do you want me to swim in my clothes? I'm probably about 155. You want me to be swimming in my clothes? Where was I? Yes. So last
I love Tommy. Oh, he's a great kid.
I appreciate you, Teague. Thank you. Last night was a night that we'll never forget. And whether you went to bed or shut the game off or whatever the case may be, you know, things happen. It's sports. But this team never quits. They never say die. And they are. How many people are driving a car right now going, oh, I'm a WF fan, day one listener. This guy puts women's jeans on. Well, what do you want me to tell you?
Luke Evening.
Yes. I'm being honest with you. I'm being upfront with you. Most of my jeans are men's jeans. I will say that. But have I occasionally worn women's jeans? Yes. Is there an issue? Is there a big deal? Is that a problem? Nobody seems to notice unless I say something.
Tommy!
Some people have called them leggings on the internet. They're not leggings, but they're tight jeans. They're very tight.
No,
but again, I have models' legs.
Tommy!
Women would kill for these legs. So what am I supposed to do? Hide them in baggy jeans? In Jenko jeans? What is this, 1998?
Let them watch.
Speaking of, last night couldn't have got any better until I got in the car and drove home. And I'm not kidding. It was like 3 in the morning because I was hanging out a little bit after the shift talking to Fliegelman. And I'm driving home at 3 a.m. here in downtown Manhattan. And two, like, hot girls just slagging around town. They walk right. I'm just like, where else in the world would this be going on at 3 in the morning?
Oh, hi there.
Literally go for a stroll. It's 3 in the morning. I'm like, I didn't think this night could get any better, and it just did. I mean, arm in arm. It was fantastic.
Any plans or anything?
God bless America. What a country.
Hi there.
Marla Hooch. What a hitter. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Paul and Yonkers here on the fan. What's up, Paul?
Could I please speak to Positive Tommy?
Yes, you can, Paul.
Well, I am now going to respect you.
Well, wait on a second.
For what you did?
You didn't respect me before this?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But we're in a different atmosphere now. For what you did for your listeners last night and how you carried us home, because I was yelling and screaming at you when we're down 25 and 27 and how we can't win, and you're telling us how you could win. When it went down to 9, I jumped on your back and I said, Tommy, carry us home. Are we really going to win? Carry us home.
So I was like Luke. I was like Luke Skywalker, and you, Paul, were like Yoda. You know what I mean? I carried you on my back, and
yes,
we got through the finish line.
I was 1,000 pounds. Yes. So now my respect for you is now when I mention you as Positive Tommy, and if I ever get the opportunity to meet you, it will be a Positive Tommy. It's great to meet you.
Well, Paul,
that's
as you know,
you did for all your listeners last night.
Thank you. And I appreciate you acknowledging me. And as you know, Paul, we do have tentative plans to link up in Sin
down
City.
Down the road.
You still have to meet a few of my demands before this happens. And you know what they are. I would like a limo picked up at the airport. It needs to be 65 degrees in the limo when I'm picked up. I want a suite at the Venetian or the Bellagio.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess you're not going.
I want when I arrive, I want Skittles in a little brown paper bag when I get there.
Yeah.
But okay. Paul, because you're well connected in Vegas. You just have to explain to them that Positive Tommy has 15 simple demands. And if they meet those demands, I'll join you out there.
I hear you. But just talking about last night, man, what you did, and I'm serious. I had the radio on, and how you carried us home.
I did.
It was an amazing thing.
Well, think about it too, Paul. The moment my show started last night was at 10 o'clock, which is exactly when halftime began, and the team is down 27 points. So the minute my voice hit this airwaves, the Knicks were essentially at their darkest hour. And through my voice, through my power of positivity, through my brilliance and my generational talent, just abilities that I have as I am the future of the business,
Tommy,
I got people like you, Paul, and my fellow Knick fans and all the great listeners here on After Hours. I got everybody through the finish line.
You did.
Now, and I didn't take a jump shot, but through my words, as I talked everybody through it, didn't it all come to fruition, Paul? Did I tell a lie?
Did I
say anything that didn't actually happen?
No! You carried us through. You did it. I listened to you. I jumped on your back and I said, Tommy, carry me. When it went down to four, and I think Castle hit the three to make it seven, I was heartbroken. But I heard you. You said, that's okay, don't worry about it. And then Cat hit his three-pointer. We went back to four, and then away you went. And you just kept the positivity. And I said, how could this guy keep doing this? He's torturing me. How can
well, Paul,
we win?
I think about, you know what it is, Paul? When I'm in these moments, I'm a positive Tommy, because it's easy to be positive Tommy when things are going great. Right, and that seems to be the only time people want to hear from positive Tommy is during a 10-game winning streak or a 30-point victory. Then it's all positive Tommy. We love positive Tommy. But in reality, positive Tommy is most needed at a team's darkest hour, because when everybody else is feeling a certain way, and I can't blame them for that, but that's the moment where I got to step up and be positive Tommy, to be that shining voice, that shining light, that beacon of hope, so that people like you, Paul, could just jump on my back. And guess what, Paul? I got skinny legs, but I got a big back, my friend. And anytime you want to jump up on my back, you got full autonomy, all right? You jump on that back. And you ride me like a horse, Paul, okay? I need you to ride me, all right? Will you?
No problem.
Ride me.
Because now
get up on there, baby.
I would never deny whatever you say. Positively, okay. Whatever you say, I won't go the opposite to be spiteful.
Now, Paul, as you know, and I know, listen, you're a connected guy in a lot of places from Mulberry Street to down here. You're known across the five boroughs, all right? You're Lefty Ruggiero. You are known. So I'm not saying you're connected, but in a lot of ways, I'm not saying you have mob ties. But you know this, Paul. You got connections out in Vegas, and we don't. You know, we all know what goes on out there. So when you speak about me at these meetings that you have, or whatever people you see out on the street, when you bring up my name, you talk about me at the highest of regard. Okay.
Yes, sir. I will. I'm going to make a name for you out there. When you come out, they're going to know who Paul is.
They're going to know exactly who just arrived in Vegas. And at that point,
he's a good fella. He's one of us.
They're going to meet my 20 demands that I have.
That's enough.
I run it out there, okay, Paul? They need to know
Tommy,
that.
What?
He's a good fella.
Tommy,
he's one of us.
Tommy, thank you for last night. You got me through it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, okay.
What's my pleasure,
I'm
going
to let everybody. Yeah, good talking to you. Positive Tommy forever.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, Paul. Yeah, Paul and I, or Paul and me, or Paul and we, or Paul and myself, we are thinking about, he invited me out for the opening week of the NFL, also college football, to hang with him in Vegas and watch all the games. Couple reasons why it's a little bit tempting. Aren't you at least little bit curious what Paul and Yonkers looks like? Paul, I love you, but people come up to me like, is that the old guy from Up, the movie? I don't know. I only hear his voice. I've never met him. No idea what he looks like. So to meet Paul and Yonkers, and Paul has been very, very coy about his identity. So I don't know if it's a catfish situation, or I don't know what the deal is, but he has always wanted to keep a very low profile. We've invited him out to things, and he's been, I'm good. But in this situation, he is open to meeting face-to-face out in Sin City. So from that perspective, I'm slightly interested.
Luke, evening!
And also, who doesn't love Vegas? Now, there are some logistical things. It's the
gambling problem.
It's the first week of the NFL season, so I probably can't take off much, if any, time out of work, so we got to work through a few things there. But I think that's great digital content. Positive Tommy and Paul and Yonkers hitting the strip in Vegas is, I think, high-level entertainment. Give me a better piece of digital quality type of content that we could provide here at WFAN.
Oh, my God!
That's 1 million, 2 million, 3 million views. We'll do a whole mini-series of my time out there with Paul and Yonkers. I need you to ride me, all right? Will you? Because Paul's going to get on my back out there, and he's going to ride me. I need you to ride me, all right? Will you? And I'm going to take him across the finish line. But I know he's connected out there with the right kind of people. Come on, there's only
he's
two names.
He's a good fella. He's one of us.
There's only two names in that book, and one of them is still Al Capone. He knows the deal out there. By the way, By the way, everything I'm saying up here is satirical. It's for comedy purposes. It's for entertainment purposes.
Luke Evening!
I don't want to end up in the Hudson River. So I'm, if any of you out there are, in fact, actually connected, don't take this seriously. Don't
Tommy, the mama's boy.
It's more of a joke. I want nothing to do with it. I'm sorry, but this is the entertainment portion of the program. When we bring in Paul and Yonkers, it is more of the satirical. It is more of the entertainment. It is more of the dog and pony show
Tommy D.
portion of After Hours. But yeah, I just have simple 20-25 demands. That's all. Including a suite at the Bellagio.
No biggie.
I'll be there tomorrow. 65 degrees. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Donnie in Inwood here on After Hours. What's up, Donnie?
Good look evening.
Hey,
how you doing?
What's going on?
Bless you and the family and everybody. Everything
yes.
is good. I just
Me
have
too.
Three quick points. Mm-hmm. One of them is yesterday, that superstition stuff is definitely real. Because by the time I got home from softball, I tried to lock into the game. And I ended up like one of those satellites that you try to find the perfect image and stuff like that. I was contorted on my couch. And I was like, yeah, I can't move from here. The Knicks are coming back. It's over. And then the other point was with Brunson and OG being MVP and stuff like that. Before that, I was giving it to Brunson because I was like, nah, Brunson is still carrying the team, still doing his thing. OG is doing his thing. But then after yesterday, I was like, damn, OG, you might have it. But the thing is with Brunson is that Brunson is doing Brunson because people can't deny that he has 32, 25, and 36.
The numbers are always there. Yep, the numbers are there.
The numbers are there. But OG has picked it up so crazy that we're like, oh, nah, you're actually reaching the levels that we're expecting you to do. We're actually loving it. So you have to get it because you're getting us so excited. It's like, no, give it to you.
And Donnie, he had to me the signature and the iconic moment and play. And if you want to also add the block on De'Aaron Fox, that belongs to OG. When you think back on this series, because I do think the Knicks roll in Game 5, I think it's a kind of a laugher. When you look at the iconic and moment that we'll remember forever in the series, it's the Anunoby tip-in and along with the block shot. And you also couple that with his play on both ends of the floor. To me, I know Brunson's the star, and that's the narrative that you want him to be the MVP, so I'm sure he'll get it. But I think OG Anunoby deserves it over him.
He does deserve it, but Brunson is probably going to have to get like 50 piece for the next game to be the MVP. But I'd give it to OG because last game was T. It was great.
Yeah, I mean that was it's still hard to even wrap your brain around it because it was one of those situations where, you know, those couple seconds, whatever it was, 4 or 5 seconds is some of the great 5 seconds in the history of New York sports. The anticipation, the missed three, the tip-in, the reaction of the crowd, Mike Breen on the call, everything, Madison Square Garden, all the things you look for in a great New York sports moment. It was all there in those 5 seconds. And sometimes 5 seconds could be great. I mean, that sounds like prom night. I mean, 5 seconds, you can get a lot accomplished in 5 seconds. And the Knicks certainly did. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Jake down in Florida here on After Hours. A very pleasant Luke evening to you, Jake. Thanks for calling.
Luke evening.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
What's happening?
So first of all, I wanted to thank you for last night.
You're welcome.
You absolutely turned things around.
Yes,
I did.
It
was halftime.
Yes.
Superstition. You know, I said, you know, I can't watch this ESPN halftime show. I got to get some positivity and put Tommy on the radio. And you convinced me that they would come back in the second half.
See?
I was down. I was out. But this team wasn't. And I needed to hear it from someone to tell me that. And you did that.
Through the power of positivity. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Through the power of positivity, I lifted your spirits, much like I did Paul and Yonkers. You needed that positive voice because, look, it was a rough first half. But I felt strong in my convictions that the Spurs were not going to duplicate that first half and the second half. I felt strongly that the Knicks were going to have a way better second half. And I've seen this team multiple times over the last couple years battle back from large deficits. They have the three-point shooting. They have the heart. They have the grit. And really, they get better as the game goes on. And they seem to have a lot more in the tank late in these games. Plus, if it got close, I knew between that Garden crowd, the inexperience of the Spurs, and the clutchness of this never-say-die Knick team, that was going to be the recipe for a victory. And it ultimately ended up being that way. And that's where my brain was at halftime.
Just want to make a couple of points.
Yeah, of course.
First of all, I've been a Knick fan for 45 years. And I moved down from New York when I was in my 20s. I have a 16-year-old son, and he remained positive. I think the older fans like myself, we're so programmed into thinking negatively.
It sometimes could be a generational thing, and I hate to make it that way, but sometimes it can be. You know, you're young and dumb. And then, when you're young, and I mean that with love, you're young and dumb. You don't know any better. You think, oh, you haven't been through the heartbreak as much, and you just expect the great things to happen.
Especially when Josh Hart missed that bunny. That only I couldn't help but think of Charles Smith.
Yeah, you know what, James?
It just immediately poked in my head.
Yep, I'm so glad that you brought that up, and I appreciate the call. So glad that you brought that up because it's something that I wanted to address. You know, I've been doing watch parties as of late for these Knicks playoff games when they're on the road. We've done one each series.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, big time. It's Knicks and Chicks out there. I mean, it's as far as the eye can see.
Oh, hi there.
I've done a couple of these watch parties, and the crowds are electric. It's just awesome. And for a few of them, I've done them with Charles Smith. Great guy, first-class gentleman, just an awesome dude. And he handles himself with that class, but I'm sure in the back of his mind, he knows, all right, when people think of me, they think of, as Joe would call it, the Charles Smith Memorial.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's something that kind of carries with you for forever. At least in other people's minds, it does. Josh Hart, who we all love because Josh embodies this city, the toughness, the attitude that he has, the dirty work that he does. He's a hard hat guy. He's a old school throwback type of player. I know there's a lot of people in our audience that just, they love the 90s Knicks so much, and they hold those teams so near and dear to their hearts and minds, and Josh would fit in with those teams. And he's been such a valuable member of this team. You know, I've often joked, they've either cloned Josh Hart or he's the most, as far as his endurance, as far as just his ability to have an incredible motor, you know, he has no equal in the NBA. That's how just incredible he is as far as his ability to go after a loose ball or to get an offensive rebound. There's either seven Josh Harts on the Knicks because they've cloned him, or he's the most well-conditioned athlete that we've ever seen. Oh, Hart! And it is hard. It's tenacity, it's toughness, and that's what Josh Hart brings to the table. Josh Hart almost had his Charles Smith moments last night, including the steal with the team down one, and it looked like he was in between a play that he does in his sleep. In his sleep, we've seen him do that. And I felt like he was in between a layup and a dunk, and he got caught in between, missed the bunny, which is an easy little layup. And then the bad defense on Castle, and then even in the final play, he got beat, but luckily Cat tipped it. So Josh Hart almost had a night that would have put him in kind of in that category with the Charles Smith, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate for Charles. It would have been unfortunate for Josh, especially if the Knicks would have lost the series, which I don't think they would have, but if they would have had to have lost this series or ended up losing the series, we would look back to that game specifically because of the comeback that fell short and Josh Hart, I don't know if he screwed up, but just the plays that he did not make down the stretch. Thankfully, for a guy that we love so much and a guy that we just have so much admiration for and a guy that has meant so much for this team and always does the dirty work and plays every minute of every game if asked to do that, will play hurt, will just... He pours his guts out on the court. For him to have had those bad moments kind of attached to him, that would have been heartbreaking. That would have been rough. So thankfully, his teammates bailed him out. And now we don't have to talk about it in the sense of that it happened, but in a sense of thankfully it didn't happen. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Ed in Mohegan here on After Hours. What's up, Ed?
Good evening, Tommy.
Hey.
You know who you are? You're Yudovich. You ever see Inglourious Basterds?
Yes, I have. I've only seen it, I think, once, but I mean, that mustache is in the Nazi killing business. I've only seen it maybe twice, but definitely once. Not enough to remember every little part of it, though.
Oh, it's got a ton of quotes in it. I won't get into it now. You got to watch it a couple more times. When Brunson took the shot, when he took the three, if he makes that shot, there's maybe 3 seconds left on the clock. How much do you think that plays into the finale of the game? I think missing the shot was essential to them winning. It had to go down the way it went down, which makes me think they're going to win even more. I'm not making a prediction, but I looked at it, and it looks like the clock would have... If that three went down, I say there's maybe 3.1 seconds left.
Yeah.
And that 1.8 seconds is a lot.
It is, but you're also asking now the Spurs, who are shell-shocked, who are not executing a lot in this series down the stretch. You need them to be able to hit a game winner there or be able to execute their offense when they don't really have a go-to guy. Like think about their play calls in these games that have been tight that just have gone awry. They don't seem to have one particular player. Like we know the Knicks, it's going to Brunson. With them, they don't have that guy yet. Wemby might not be that player. I think Harper could be, but they haven't given him that sort of responsibility yet. It was divine intervention or a team of destiny, and whether it's that break or a couple other bounces that they've gotten that have gone their way, when you couple that with the experience and the talent and just everything that is involved with this team, that's why they are winning the championship, and that's why I've always been confident about it, because I'm watching. You know what, Ed, and you've been here too, you've obviously been a sports fan your whole life. Sometimes you could just watch sports, and it's obviously not scripted, but sometimes you think it is scripted. Sometimes you think there's a script here, and the script writers have picked the Knicks to be the champions.
Oh, somebody handed this into Hollywood.
Yeah.
Left out of the room.
Yes. How many times do we think about that, about the Yankees in the 90s, or that giant team that knocked off the Patriots? Yes, Boston, right. It's just sometimes you're just watching sports, and you go, I don't care what you put in this team's way. They are going to run over it. They are winning the championship.
Every now and then, Tommy, every now and then, with the amount of games that we watch between the big four, basketball, hockey, you're going to get games like that. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Of elimination.
You just hope you're on the right side of it. Yep.
Absolutely. And we've been on the wrong side. For 2004, I'm a Yankee fan. I watched Boston come back and win. Mm-hmm. I'm a sports fan first. It sucked, but you know what? I watched it. If they don't win this, I just don't know where they go from here. I know where the Spurs would need to. I've never seen a team with young players that young win. You know, I mean, when Magic won, he had Kareem. When Tony Parker won, he had
It be the Portland team with Bill Walton? Would that be probably the best example of a young team that won a championship? It's very rare, though, and that's one of the reasons why I was down on the Spurs team, is because not only are they ahead of schedule, meaning they probably shouldn't have even gotten to the finals this year, but this idea that a young core, 23 and under, are going to win a championship. And also, too, look, if they were playing, if they had a cream puff team that just sort of skated by and got to the finals, yeah, the Spurs would win based on their talent and athleticism. But they're not facing that type of team. They're facing a veteran team that is locked in, that has a ton of talent, a ton of experience. They play great defense. This is a tall order for anybody, let alone a team that hasn't been here before and doesn't know how to win in the big moments, in the clutch moments yet. And the Knicks have taken full advantage of that.
Absolutely. This team, and then look, this is not for nothing. The Knicks better put this away this year, because it might even be next year. This team's going to be scary.
I'll say this, Ed, and I appreciate the call as always. I'll put it out on the record right now. I don't think this is the last time the Knicks and Spurs meet in the finals with these rosters. I don't. Because I look at the Eastern Conference. Yeah, Indiana will be back. Okay, Boston, I think, is on the way down more than they're on the way up. Detroit is still a player or two away, and they don't have experience either. Detroit hasn't figured out how to win yet. Same thing with an Orlando. Cleveland, forget it. They're gutless, spineless losers, so they have no shot ever. So it's Indiana and it's Detroit. If they have the right type of offseason, that would be a threat. I still put the Knicks over all those teams. Halliburton coming off a major injury. So there's no reason. I think you go about this year, like you said, Ed, and I've been saying it. Hey, this is their one shot. This is their one opportunity. Seize it. They had the winning streak. You never know when you're going to have that type of momentum. You're catching the Spurs at the right time. And all of that remains true. Not only is it the Knicks' year, but everything broke right for them. Every opponent broke right for them. Now, I think they would have beaten the Pistons and Celtics, but I don't know if they're sweeping those teams. And by sweeping the teams, Philly, Cleveland, it provided this group the ability to rest, which is giving them more energy late in these games in the finals, where the Spurs look exhausted because they're coming off a seven-game series. And that's why even if San Antonio won last night, the longer this series goes, it would favor the Knicks. I never did, and I don't see the path to San Antonio winning. I'm extremely confident in that. At times cocky. And yes, I talk about the parade all the time, but I believe it's going to happen. And I've watched enough sports in my life to know there are just years where you look at a team and you say, this is their moment, this is their year, and this is the Knicks' year. I don't know how much more evidence you need. Because I'm sure there's still people like Ed who are, maybe not Ed because he sounded like he was confident, but I know there are a lot of Knicks fans out there that are still feeling a little bit of trepidation. It's like, okay, I get it. 53 years, it's a lifetime for some. If you're not old enough to remember the championships, you have PTSD, it's not over till it's over, you don't want to touch the money, you don't want to, okay. I've been saying this for days. You are not beating this Knicks team, especially with this Spur team, you are not beating them four times. If you can't win when you're up 29, you are not winning. You can't hold that lead. And the Spurs have had double-digit leads in every game. And they're down 3-1. I think the Knicks blow them out in Game 5, but if the Knicks got down 30, I would have all the confidence in the world in the Knicks. Yes, part of that is being positive, Tommy. But the other part of it is I'm watching this team and I see the never say die attitude that they have, plus their talent, plus their ability to hit the three-point shot, plus their ability to defend, plus the Spurs' ability to go in these shooting funks that they went in the second half of Game 4. Plus, I think it's now in the Spurs' head, which I also talked about before the series, mentally, they were going to get worn out by the Knicks. I've been spot on with everything I've said about this series. And the reason I've said the things I've said is because of watching this team and them building my faith in them to where they've earned that. And until they lose four games and are eliminated in any of these series, I always think they're going to win a game, win a series, because that's what they've done. And they also match up extremely well with San Antonio. Maybe not quarters 1, 2, and 3, but late in games, and all these games have been tight. Even the game one where the Knicks won by 10, it was tied with, what, 2 minutes left? They've all been tight. But the Knicks know how to pull these games out and make the plays. Even if they don't make all the plays down the stretch, you're confident that they're going to make 90% of them. Even if Josh Hart misses a bunny, you expect Brunson to hit a shot. Okay, Brunson didn't hit a shot. Crap, here comes De'Aaron Fox. OG gets a block. All right, Brunson's going to nail this three. We're going to get a triple bang. It's going to be an all-timer here. He misses. Ananobi, Johnny on the spot, just from, you know, like Superman soaring through the sky. He tips the ball in. I've watched sports all my life, and I have seen teams like I bring them up a million times because it's the best example. Those Yankees teams, those dynasty teams in the 90s, they were the exact same way. That's why when Arizona beat them in the World Series, I was stunned that that happened, because it was really the first time where you're like, wait a second. I get it against Cleveland. I understand that. But to me, the Arizona one is where I really felt it more than I did in that series, where they were going to win the championship. It didn't happen. But when you have that championship DNA and you have that never quit attitude that this team has to go along with everything else on their side, and really, when you look at San Antonio, the perfect opponent because of their inexperience and still trying to figure out a way to win, and their head coach is just not ready for prime time, and they're a couple players short. The Spurs are absolutely one or two players short of a championship team. Because when I say championship team, I mean when you meet a great opponent, you can beat them. Not, all right, you get a team you could roll over in the finals because you have a weak Eastern kind. Somebody gets through and you smash them. Like, the Spurs have that ability to do that, but they don't have that championship team yet. They're going to get it, and I think these two teams are going to meet again down the road. I really believe that. I think the Spurs are the class of the Western Conference, and I think the Knicks are the class of the Eastern Conference. And the Spurs are younger, but the Knicks are still relatively young. So why wouldn't I think that? This could be the start of a bunch of matchups in the finals between these two teams. And when you consider the bad blood that's already starting to brew with Wemby in this team and Wemby in this city, sign me up. Now, the Spurs will be a much tougher opponent a year from now, 2 years from now. This is the time to get them. Not saying the Knicks can't beat them in a couple years, but it won't be like this. It'll never be like this again with them, because they just don't have that experience yet. They're gaining it. They're finding out the hard way, which you have to. Jordan did. Everybody does. Most people think, oh, Michael Jordan, you know, he must have won from right out of the gate. No, he didn't. And that's Michael Jordan. So if it's good enough for Michael Jordan, it's good enough for everybody else. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in primetime. We'll get to all your calls. It's a big Lugowski. I got you till midnight. All your reaction from last night as we preview Game 5 on Saturday. The Knicks are one win away from a championship. The phone number to call, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer.
Lugie.
It is After Hours here on The Fan. Game 5 of the NBA Finals is Saturday.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, by the way, programming note for all of you listening out there. A return to the weekends for your boy.
Luke, evening.
Yes, I will be on the air Saturday night. So here's the dealio. Anthony Gallo, who does weekend shifts here. He's also a member of the Carton Show, does a lot of digital work. Gallo will be on Saturday night. I'm not exactly sure when the show starts, but let's call it around 7, 8 o'clock. That's when his show starts. I will be joining him at 11 o'clock, and we'll do a little crossover there until the game ends, and then I'm sure he'll stick around for a little bit, and then I'll kind of take over and take you through, I believe, 3 a.m. I got to double-check that. I think it was 2 or 3 a.m. Either way, 2, 3 a.m. into the wee hours. So we will celebrate that championship together. Gallo and I, and I told him, Gallo, it's going to be a big moment for you, kid. I'll teach you the business. I'll teach you the ropes. Digital's going to be all over it. It's going to be a viral video. The morning show will do an hour on it. Everybody's going to be talking about it. You're going to be in here with Positive Tommy. You're not in here by yourself. So wear the tightest shirt you have.
And Tommy!
We'll be the tight shirt bros. In fact, if he's down for it, we could take our shirts off. That'll break the internet.
No biggie.
You want to give me a hug? We'll take our shirts off and we'll run around. That's how you celebrate a championship.
A little march.
Why don't you bring some chicks around here sometime? I'm not even joking, everybody. I got out of here 2:30 or so, and I get it's Manhattan, and that's why I love this city. You could go outside at any moment, and it might as well be 2:00 in the afternoon. I'm driving home, and I mean two beauts just walking by. I'm just slagging around town. I'm like, this is unbelievable. It was like 3 in the morning. And I understand it was a great night last night. People were out partying. I'm not even sure if they were partiers. They were just
working. What are you like doing later?
They were going for a stroll at 3 in the morning.
Oh, hi there.
Two just hotties.
Any plans or anything?
I don't know. They were just walking around at 3 in the morning. Like it was nothing. Here in Long Island. Big time. Not only on the court, but off the court. I mean, that's how we roll around here. The New York-based basketball excitement continues. Whether you're watching every possession from the couch, the bar, or surrounded by friends, make sure you've got an ice-cold Corona in hand. Just like the team is on the hardwood, Corona is always smooth, always refreshing, and goes perfectly watching a game. And when halftime hits, don't go anywhere. Tune into the Carton Show live stream for all your reactions, analysis, and conversations as the finals unfold. Find out their Corona Line Time highlight of the first half. So crack open a Corona, enjoy the game, and remember, Corona La Playa awaits. Drink responsibly. It is After Hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. A Big Lugowski, I got you till midnight. Let's head out to your calls and say hello to John in Oxford, Connecticut. What's up, Johnny?
Thanks for taking the call, Loogie.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Dude.
Yo.
You set yourself apart last night.
Yes.
You do know that.
I do.
The positive Tommy, I mean, against your cohorts. I mean, you were the man. You stood in. You are part of the story. Do you realize they're going to do like 30 for 30
yes.
on ESPN
yes.
about this championship?
Yes.
And it's going to be like, you know these things. They're going to have like radio. And they're going to be like talking about the only guy who had anything positive to say when they were down, what, 27 at the half?
27 at the half, 29 was the high water mark. Yep.
And you're the guy.
Tweeted out that the Knicks were going to win, said it on the radio for hours. Yeah, that's me. Yep.
You could have documentaries done on you for this, man.
That's where this is. I stand alone. You know, I stood above the rest. Knicks win! Knicks win!
It was a
shining moment.
I don't want a polygraph on you.
Well, hold on a second, John.
I don't want a polygraph.
Well, you don't need a polygraph.
No polygraph.
You know, polygraph. But I would say this. Last night was not only a shining moment for the Knicks, first and foremost, a shining moment for the city, but it was Positive Tommy's finest hour.
Positive Tommy!
Yes.
OMG.
That's right.
It was, you know, because I love Ray Leo. Tommy. I love him, you know.
Tommy!
It's fantastic. I mean, really, you know, I can't even, you know, whether you believed it or not, the fact that has to be.
What do you mean? What, of course I believed it. I said it. I believed it, and I've laid out all the reasons why
though.
I believed it.
Tell me, though. Yeah. If the Knicks win this, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say they are, even though I'm
kind of
a Beningo guy.
Okay, when they win. Yeah.
When they win it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's it ranked?
What am I comparing it to? All the major sports around here, or me personally?
Well, who's favorite. The ranking system? What it means to you?
Oh, to me personally. Oh, it's number one for me, and the reason it's number one is twofold. I understand the weight of this 53-year drought. I understand what this basketball team means to this city and generations of Knicks fans that have been just wishing and hoping and praying for this moment for decades, and the depths that this team was in as far as sports hell for so long, and how they've gone from the joke of the league to the toast of the league, and they built it the right way with a beloved team filled with gamers and guys with grit and toughness and heart, passion.
All heart!
And a love for this city. The connection that this team has with this city is it's an unbreakable bond. But if you're asking for me, I'm also on the radio doing my dream job and coming on after these games and being clipped on social media and playing even a small part in it. You know, obviously I'm not out there taking a three. I have nothing to do with the outcome of the game as far as the performance. But if I say something on the radio that lifts your spirits or whatever the case may be and made you believe in it more and it came to fruition, I mean, that means a lot to me. That means everything to me. Because I was like you guys once. I was listening to this radio station wishing one day I'd get an opportunity to even work here, let alone talk into a microphone. Yes! Let's go! So to have these moments through this run, too, because it feels like we've grown with this team. You know, when I was on Evan Atiki, we did those road trips to Philly, and Evan and myself went up to Boston, and all through that to get to this where I have my own show and I'm a spinoff from Evan Atiki. This is extra special and the most special for me. Like the two Giants Super Bowls, obviously, was my first taste of it. But to have the job to go along with the run and the championship and the parade and all that stuff, as Clyde would say, it was serendipity. So, yes, this one is, and I was talking to somebody off air about this. This can't be duplicated because of the drought, because of everything that this team means and how special this run is and to have the historic comeback. If this is a dynastic team, and I'm starting to feel like it is, but if it is, and they go on to win however many championships, this one will be the most special. The first one. The one that broke the drought. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Nick in Long Beach, New Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Tommy! Yo! Let's go, brother! Come on, baby!
What's happening?
Let's go, my man. Listen, I remember calling you. Geez, it was probably around, had to have been in the middle of the winter in the dog days of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after this team acquired Jose Alvarado. And I called you, and I said, listen, this is the type of acquisition this team needs, a guard off the bench that can come in, and whether he's given us 6-8 minutes or like last night, when he is a catalyst and an X factor in that lineup, when nobody saw it coming, because Mike Brown pulls a rabbit out of his hat, changes up the rotations, because he honestly had to with where the team was and foul trouble and whatnot. And Alvarado is playing off of Brunson. He's bringing a spark. He's hitting shots, how efficient of a night he had. And he's taking the pressure off of Brunson. And at the time when you and I spoke, I said to you, it's going to come the playoff time. I don't know what round it was going to be, but it's going to come the playoff time. And this kid's going to come in, and he's going to be a difference maker for this group when we need it most. And sure enough, he comes out last night. He hits that big three.
Yeah.
He hits that spinning layup late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The energy he brought, and even when he's not on the floor, and he's worked his way in and out of that rotation.
Yes, he has.
To the playoffs.
Yep.
And last night, when we didn't have an answer other than Brunson late and Ananobi late, when Cat couldn't get it going in foul trouble and Bridges was nowhere to be found, Jose Alvarado comes off the bench, and obviously he didn't, you know, light up the box score, but his buckets came at the right time, and he took so much pressure off of JB and allowed the offense to sort of breathe a little bit.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Nick, and I do remember, because I know that I've been a big supporter of Alvarado for a while now. I've been championing him becoming a Nick because of his defense, because he can be a point guard, which Deuce McBride isn't. It allows Brunson to play off the ball, which the Knicks really needed in this series. And I was screaming for, hey, Alvarado's going to be out there more. And Alvarado's another guy, not afraid of the moment. He's got stones, obviously a local here, and grew up as a Knicks fan, gets it, gets what this moment is all about. And he was sensational. That was truly the Jose Alvarado game. And you are 100% spot on, and he's the type of guy you bring in to a championship fold as a role player that could step up, and he did it at times when Bridges was struggling in the Atlanta series, and then last night, he was an integral part, and you brought up that three. I remember saying it on the air. I was like, that is an enormous three. Spurs are up 7. He misses that. It changes the whole look. When you have a comeback of 29 points, you have to hit every single note. And the other team has to miss, basically, every single note. One little thing here or there, Wemby makes a free throw, or Fox pulls that ball out and gets fouled. Ananobi doesn't tip the ball in. Alvarado doesn't make a big three. Cat doesn't tip the ball when the lob there to Castle on the inbound. All those things. Even the ball getting tipped down the court for De'Aaron Fox to have to go run and get and think that he has a layup opportunity. All of those things had to happen for this to occur. And they did, because it's that type of year where the stars have aligned. But when you have these championship rosters and runs, you need players like Alvarado and Shamet and Clarkson that on any moment's notice can step up, and they're veterans and they're pros and they're not afraid to take and make big shots. And that goes for all of those guys. They're not. And we've seen in this run all three of them at times be that player. And obviously guys like Brunson will get all the accolades, might even get the MVP, although Ananobi's been the MVP. Cat was the MVP in the first couple of games. We know the star power, but it's those other guys, those role players that the Knicks have more of than the Spurs do, and that's a big reason why the Knicks are one win away from a championship, and the Spurs are on Sports Life Support. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is a Positive Tommy here in prime time. A big
Luke evening.
Well, hopefully everybody out there is having a very pleasant Luke evening. We got another 3 hours here on the Big Lugowski. Plenty of time to take your calls at 888-808-1019 as we continue to celebrate the basketball team we love, the Knicks. It's After Hours. It's Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Largest comeback win in NBA Finals history!
The guys left. Party's just begun!
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.